All right, I will say a good Erev Shabbos, everyone. A great schos, Baruch Hashem. To be here, I'm just looking for the sponsors for tonight. Steve is not here. Okay, to thank our sponsors for this evening. To thank Cherry Applebaum for sponsoring tonight in honor of his grandson's first visit east and his son Jacob's new apartment. Beautiful, incredible. And to thank Akiva Lawrence for sponsoring in honor of Mir Hashem, his Kabbalah. To the next time he davens for the Amid, to use a lot more Nigunim and a lot less Nusach. Mir Hashem. I'm sure that's how I have it. That's how I have it over here. That's how I have it. I can only read what's in front of me. And I will say, of course, a tremendous Yashikach to Reb Tzvi. What's tonight? Yabchik. This is Yabchik. Reb Tzvi. Incredible.
Now for something different.
Incredible. Beautiful. Thank you so very much. Beautiful. Chevra, always important to Makir Dov to Reb Tzvi. Mamish makes the... It's the Gashmius that often makes the Ruchnius come alive, and it's the Ruchnius that infuses the Gashmius with additional Kiddusha. So we'll say, I still haven't decided on a permanent Mahalach. I'm still a couple of possibilities that are up in the air. All Piagetzna related, although after Tuesday night. After Tuesday night, I thought maybe about doing Likutei Moharan, doing a little bit of Rabbi Nachman, back to our roots. That's how this started. Many, right? Do you remember that? Years ago, though, right? We used to have
Old Ma'at
in Russia. This one on the Resh Pei Beis, yeah. Okay, so okay, we'll see. But tonight, I want to do a very beautiful piece. We're probably actually going to take us. I was going to say tonight. It's probably going to take us like the next couple of years. But in Eretz Hashem. But I want to start a piece with you tonight from the Piagetzna Chovas HaTalmidim. I'll tell you a little bit about the Sefer in just a moment. So I got a little ambitious. I have two packets for tonight in case somehow we finish the first. Okay. Let's try to get through one thing at a time over here. And over here. Give to the Gullus table over there also. I don't know, what did they do? It's like the penal colony. What did you guys do over there? What happened? You get the chicken nuggets over there? Is that what happened? Yes, they're chicken nuggets. All right. Is Dr. Pepper and chicken nuggets over there? All right, so we'll say. So just to give you a little bit of context, we're picking up here actually like a little bit in the middle. But let me just to give you context, this sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim was a beautiful sefer written by the Piagetzna, and the point of his sefer was as follows. We will say a lot of times when it comes to chinuch, when it comes to education, so often the responsibility for positive education is foisted upon the Rebbe, the teacher. What the Piagetzna understood is that in order for learning to occur, there has to be almost like a contract between teacher and student. Right? The teacher takes it upon himself to be a good teacher. Right? Whatever that means, different methodologies, right? Piagetzna was a master educator. So even before the world even knew the concept of multiple intelligences when it comes to learning, right? The Piagetzna understood it. Right? The Piagetzna understood that there are kinesthetic learners. He understood there are all kinds of people who learn in different ways. So there's an obligation upon the teacher to be able to go ahead and ensure that he has the ability to convey the information to the Talmud, to the student in the right way. What the Piagetzna also advances is, but there's a responsibility on the student. In other words, if you want to learn, then as the student, I have to make the commitment to engage in the educational process. Right? So we see this theme over and over. It's not just about a classroom in general. Leadership could only be effective when there is a bought-in constituency. Right? If the flock is not interested in being led, you could have the most incredible leader, and it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. There has to be this partnership between the flock and the shepherd, right? Between the leader and between the congregation. Ultimately, again, between the teacher and the students. And actually, what the Piagetzna does in this sefer, interestingly, that's why it's called Chovas HaTalmidim. obligations of students. In this Sefer that Piagetzna outlines, if you want to be a learner, if you want to be a student, here is what you need to do in order to become a student. It's a very different kind of Sefer, right? There's no shortage of svarim to teachers, right, and to Rebbeim, telling them what they need to do. They're right, the Piagetzna does that also. But the thrust of this is, student, you want to learn, you want to make something of yourself, you have to engage in the process. And it's in the Sefer that the Piagetzna outlines what it means to engage in the educational process. So, I'm picking up over here in the middle of the fourth chapter. You see on the first page, it's Mem Dalet. It's page Mem Dalet, and it has a little asterisk. You have the asterisk in there? Yeah. Maisa, you see that? So this story, it's a Maisa tonight. It's a story. This Maisa is going to change your life. It's going to change your life. And if we have time, which I'm confident we will, Amir Tzashem, if we have time, I'm sorry, did someone say something? Was there somebody muttering under their breath or something? If there's time, then Amir Tzashem, what we'll begin to do is begin to see the context in which this statement was mentioned. Because remember, again, we're going to see that the story is not a standalone story. So we'll say, let's take a look. Look, the Maisa itself is so profound. He says, Maisa b'sandler echad. He says, ultimately, again, there was a story, b'sandler Yehudi, ani b'aretz Yisrael, shedar alimadech. We'll say, just before we go on, of course, again, we dedicate our learning, you know, even though, again, by now, almost 3 months into this war, it kind of goes without saying, but, you know, nothing could ever go without saying. We dedicate our learning, you know, for the success of our precious soldiers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow them to be matzliach, should give them hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadeim, should allow them to be safe, should allow them to come back to their family b'shalom and b'karov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on all of our hostages. And again, it's overwhelming to think about another day and another week with these precious men, women, and children in circumstances that we can't even begin to fathom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on us. And Amir Tzashem bring them home to their families, Bekarov.
Amen.
So he tells a story. Maisa, besandler Yehudi ani b'aretz Yisrael. There was once a story. A sandler is like a shoemaker. A shoemaker, right? Story of a shoemaker, a poor shoemaker in Eretz Yisrael. Shedar al imadara. He lived on the side of the road. Okay. Now this shoemaker, where did he make his money? Because he lived on the side of the road. So remember, again, people would go ahead and travel, and their shoe would break, something would happen. So they would come into his house, and he would repair their shoes. Okay. So one guy, his sandal strap ripped, and so the sandler, the shoemaker, would repair it. Another guy lost his shoelace, he'd repair it. Fine. Parnasasu haisa mitzum semes. Again, this guy, he never was really successful. His parnasasu was mitzum semes. Mitzum semes means exact. Exact. In other words, Baruch Hashem, he was, I'm sorry?
Paycheck
to paycheck, right? Day to day. He made what he needed in order to survive. But look what he writes. He says, Aval sholev haya tamid gamhu v'gam ishto bara. We will say, you know what? He was very tranquil. I'll say, by the way, isn't that not the most beautiful thing? You know, how often is it in life that we go through life thinking that money is the key to tranquility? If only I had more money, I'd have more yishuv hadas, I'd have more tranquility, I'd have more nachas ruach. Now the truth is, there's no question that certainly having more money comes with benefits. Being able to pay your bills has benefits, right? Being able to save has benefits. But I will say one thing we should be clear on is that life tranquility does not come from money. I want to be clear. There are things that come from money, right? There's definitely, again, it's certainly what we'll call like a certain level of inner quietude that comes from knowing that you don't have to worry about paying your bills, about paying your mortgage, about keeping up with your needs. But to be shalev, real life tranquility, doesn't come from money, I will say. Does not. It's the greatest misnomer in life. And you can ask people, I know a lot of people, and I'll tell you the truth, like a lot of people, Baruch Hashem, who are very, very, very successful, who have more money than they'll ever know what to do with. And I'll tell you, they're not very often. People who outside world look like the epitome of success, they're not tranquil people. I don't mean that they're unhappy people. I mean, they're not settled. They're not settled people. They're not settled. It's very important for us to understand because we're always striving. If only I had. So this guy at the end of the day, he lived paycheck to paycheck, but he was shalif. But he had tranquility. Gamu, gam ishto abanav. He was tranquil, his wife, his kids. Ki haya ha'ish yareas Hashem ma'od. Why? Because he was a person who revered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, we'll say, when you have the Ribono Shel Olam in your life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a constant fixture in your existence. So that's what gives you tranquility. We'll say this is incredibly important. This is why it takes us a very long time to get through anything in the Piyajetzna. Because everything the Rebbe writes is laden with meaning. So we'll say, if life tranquility doesn't come from money, then where does it come from? Because we'll say, what do you want more than anything in life? More than anything in life, I want tranquility, not happiness. It's not happiness, because happiness is a function of a feeling at peace. So where do I get that from? I get that from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I get that from, ultimately, again, a relationship with God anchors me, steadies me, and gives me a sense of inner peace. So listen to this. It says, V'gam, esanche beso lime shekol chaya ish alea damos k'tzarim v'arayim. And this simple shoemaker, clearly not such a simple guy, right? The Hilgi Yid, right? This simple Jew taught his family members that at the end of the day, this world is temporal and fleeting, right? So, okay, you have a little bit of discomfort in this world, it's fine. At the end of the day, the ikar is live a life of meaning, live a life of impact, live a life of connection, so that your life in the world to come, ultimately again will be meaningful and beautiful. Shetis anik hanefesh bis karvusa el tiferes ikar pej bemhei malchus shamayim vitehana meziv shchinasa yisbach. We'll say, I wish I could go to this guy's house. Right? Wouldn't you love to have a fabrengen with this guy? Yeah, you have to bring your own stuff. But Lamaisa, right? But Lamaisa, like, how incredible would it be, like, to sit with a yid like this, who has just enough money to survive, but is so content, is so happy. His wife is content. His kids are content because they recognize, because he's imbued with them the understanding that the ikar is not this world. And the ikar is not about finding comfort in this world. The ikar is about meaning, creation of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you have that, then Emir Hashem, you'll be able to reap the benefits of that for all eternity. What good is all of the wealth if at the end of the day, you can't hold on to it? Good. So we'll say that's the guy. That's the introduction to our sandler, our shoemaker. Watch this. London Lohaya. I would say, ultimately, this guy was not a lamdin. Not a lamdin means like he did not know how to learn. He wasn't doing daf yomi. He wasn't learning b'nei machshava tova. He wasn't a chovav satamidim. He was not a lamdin. Afik aval kfi yachalto gam bayom gam balayla kol shosh harepoi panui lamad vispal lashem. But what did he do when he had free time? He davened and he learned. Well, I tell you, Sandler, what did you learn today? I don't know. Whatever. Not a lamdan. He's not taking bechinas of smichas chaver, right? He's not. Again, simple Jew. But when he had the time, he learned and he davened. V'yesh asher tis'or nafsho v'tislayim olis palel u'lishtapech la'ashem be'ein mafriya mabalbel. Supposed to listen to this, but there were times where he was so overcome with a desire to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They both say, What's the problem with davening? What's the problem with davening? Right? So first of all, somebody else's words. We'll say also the big problem, again, is there are distractions. There are distractions, right? It doesn't make a difference how many times you announce to please turn off your cell phones. Right? It doesn't make a difference, right? It always goes off, and it's always the guy with the craziest ringtone. Right? Some rapper comes on in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, right? What's say it's hard. You know, a lot of us experience this? We experience this, during COVID, when people had this very guilty epiphany. What was the guilty epiphany? That I have more kavana davening in my house than I have davening in shul. So there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is the pace. COVID, no one was going anywhere, right? So lemaisa, like, might as well kill some time davening, whatever, it's either that or sit with my family, So like, I might as well daven, right? So lemaisa again, so there was that. And there was also this idea that the truth is, like most of us don't have an experience of davening distraction free. It's hard, even in shul. Even in shul, we'll say there's a ton of distractions. So what's interesting to know to us is we think this is a new thing. You know, it's interesting today. It's very popular to blame everything on technology, right? If you're looking for the sources of all ills in the world, right? It used to be tznius, right? And then it was laystop shekels. And now it's technology, right? It's always technology. Let's say technology has its pitfalls, but technology is not the root of all evil. Vaharaya, the same problems that we have today, people had even before technologies. Vaharaya, what happened? The sandler, right? The sandler, you know what happens? But times he wanted a daven with real kavana. And where couldn't he do it? He couldn't do it in his house, and he couldn't do it in the base medrash. Sandler, like, what exactly are the distractions, right? Somebody bought a new mule? What exactly is it that is catching your attention over here? So I'll say, so what would he do? Listen to this. He would go ahead, v'yotza mi beis, so when his soul ignited on fire, and he wanted to daven and pour out his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being distracted, v'yotza mi beiso hatzar umidiroso bas cheder echad elayar. See, he would leave. So apparently, it could be that this guy, the sandler, didn't even live next to a base medrash, right? He lived in a one-room house. So it's kind of hard to have any kavana in a one-room house. So what would he do when he wanted kavana? He would go out into the forest. Asher l'rochok mimeno ha'ovrim v'ashavim kasher ro me'rochok v'nei ish omed panabon. And mostly when people would see this simple shoemaker davening in the forest, they would see his face was on fire. Mishabeach umoda umahalel umedaber laHashem, and he'd be praising and thanking and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ilu gam be'enei habasar shelo ra es hod kisei kavod lefano. I will say, when people saw this guy davening, they thought, if you would see it, you would think that he was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Moshe was right in front of him. That was the level of dialogue. That was a level of connection. Chamo pachadu. And people saw it. They became afraid. They saw the intensity of his kedusha, and they were afraid from it. Avamakira v'yadu kvar va'amru bevadai hasandler achosit hu ki ken yechanu makirav mi bein hagoyim. So I said, but everyone who knew him. They called him the chosid. He was the chosid, right? At first, he was called the sandler, but the people knew that this guy was a pious and righteous individual. Okay, So we'll say, at the end of the war, the Piaget is describing over here, I just want to point out, the First World War. The Pashtos, the Piaget is telling a story on Maise Shahaya. This was a story that occurred. So let's listen to this. It was at the end, the days of the First World War. Kasher Shavas, we'll say, by the way, it's interesting. How does the Piagetna describe the First World War? How does he describe it? Yemeha Melchama Achrona. Now, Melchama Achrona could mean just the last war, right? The previous war. And I will say, you know, human nature is every single time we encounter tragic circumstances, we assume that this is the worst that things could be, and they can't get any worse. I will say, and that's why when even compound the tragedy, think about this in just a moment, right? You remember Chol HaMoed Sukkos, when Lucy D, Hashem Yikom Dama, and her daughters were murdered, right? On the Bekat HaYarden Road, right? On Route 60, mm-hmm. Route 60, right? They're murdered there. And you remember, like we saw that story, and we're like, was it Pesach? Pesach. Right? And I would say, like, remember you heard that story and you thought to yourself, this is the world, like, virtually a family wiped out. The overwhelming nature of a parent and children. I was like, and in our mind, like, that's the worst thing that could happen in our days. And then again, we see what unfolds over Simchas Torah. And this is also part of, like, what's so difficult to comprehend. Like, so at what point does it stop? Like, at what point do we reach the peak of atrocity or the peak of tragedy? At what point does it get that this is the worst? This is the worst. So it's interesting that everybody always views the worst that they've experienced as like the worst. This is the pinnacle. So Piagetna says again, I will say, the Piagetna, Hashem Yikom Damo, who was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, in the Warsaw Ghetto. Right? He thought the Melchama Achrona, he thought this was it. It's over. So it was during World War I. Kasher Shavas Mikol Ovo Orach. So what happens? Because obviously there's no pedestrian traffic. if there's no pedestrian traffic. What happens if there's no pedestrian traffic? No pedestrian traffic, no parnasa. No parnasa, right? There's no one shoes to fix. So obviously, remember again, this was a guy who was living day to day, as it is. So obviously, a couple of days go by, no parnasa. If there's no parnasa, there's no food. There's no food. Vihine, gam yom hasheni, kulam ra'evim v'yelad. So we'll say, now listen to this. Second day comes, everybody's hungry. V'yeladav ha'ketanim is'anim u'bochim. And his young children, they're hungry, and they're crying. Hoy avitna lanu lechem v'lo nigva b'ra'av. And his children are crying out to him, Father, please, just give us bread that we shouldn't die from hunger. Vihine gam yom shlishi, kulam kvar shochim. So we'll say, day number three, nothing to eat. So remember, at this point, everyone's too weak even to move. So they're all just laying down, sleeping. Chaloshim v'homim kiyonim, weakened. And then it was a homim kiyonim means like moaning or chirping. Moaning is like, right? Moaning like a dove. Avi lechem. And all they could say is, Father, bread. Rak sifso seyem na'os v'kolom lo yishamea. Their lips are moving, but their voice cannot be heard. Ki chazak aleim hara v'koach elam litzok. Because the famine had become, right, their starvation had become so intense. And ultimately, again, they don't even have the strength to call out. And the sandler, right, the chassid, so his pain is compounded, right? Why is his pain compounded? Number one, he also hasn't eaten in days. And number two, he sees the suffering of his wife, the suffering of his children, and he's heartbroken. He pulls himself together, the chassid, and he walks out of the house. Ishto tzaka, his wife calls out, "Hai bali, al teitze mize." She says, "Please, my husband, don't leave. Im namos barav, if we're going to die of hunger, kulanu yachad namos. Then let's die at least together. If we're going to die, let's at least die together." Avahu gam az lo sar bitchono me Hashem. But the chassid, he did not give up in his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yomer, lo ela moves ani holech. Rabbi said, listen to this phrase. Listen to what he says. I am not going to my death. Rak ela Elokim chayim. Rabbi said, what a line. I'm not walking to my death. I'm walking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm walking to life. I'm going to the forest. Ela yar. V'spala ela visha b'shamayim ani holech. I'm going to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyase imanu neis v'chayinu. I'm going to ultimately again daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately again that he should perform an ace, and I should both say incredible. That's the Amunah of a Yid. I will say that's an Amunah of a Yid. I'm not going, his wife said don't go. She thinks that he's just going to die outside because he can't watch his family die. So she says don't leave. He says I'm not going out to die. I'm going out to live. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have Amunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and things are going to be okay. So what's the last paragraph? Page Memhei. What happens? He's walking, he's crying. He raises his eyes to the heavens. Honor Hashem. Od kodem shabarases olamcha. Bacharta banu liyos banecha. Avadecha krovim elecha. Hashem Baruch Hu, even before you created the world, you chose us, Klal Yisrael, to be your servants, to be your children. We'll say, by the way, also very beautiful, reminiscent of Bnei Machshava Tova. Bacharta banu liyos banecha. Avadecha. Hakrovim Elecha, right? I'll say there's a lot of overlapping themes in the Piagetzna's work. Remember again, Piagetzna and B'nai Machshava Tova, two stages of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could be an Eved or you could be a Ben. The goal is ultimately, again, to not worship from a distance like an Eved, but to worship from closeness like a son. Tamid, Darash Chinascha HaKadoshim Ana Ba'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You always kept your Kiddusha with us in this world. You've lifted us up on the wings of evil, eagles. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so often, you've lifted us up into your embrace. Page Mem Vav. Umat Hov Hayalanu Az. How good it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you embraced us. Kasher Hayulacha Davar Asher Dibarto Imanu. Lomin Hashemayim Bilvat Hishmata Es Hod Kolecha. Rak gam banu dibarte. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't just hear your voice from a distance, but we hear your voice inside of us. Niglesa bin Navi ubi ishmi binenu. You revealed yourself through the prophets. Shamanu es kol Hashem edabre imanu. We've heard your voice. Mochiach umiyashar asana. Sometimes you rebuke us. Sometimes you put us on the right path. Gam ha'olam kula chal miponecha mipaninu. The world trembles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you and before us. Because what flesh and blood cannot quake, cannot shake in fear from in front of the people, Klal Yisrael, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his presence within. Okay. Uma od mar lano ato shesarta espanecha imenu. So listen to this, the Chazik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is so bitter for me to think that now you've hidden your presence from me. You've hidden your presence from me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where did you go? Where did you go? He goes on, he says, Halev miskagel al kidushascha asher nistera vanefesh soekes kervani avi. My heart yearns ultimately for your kedusha that has been hidden away from me. And my soul cries out, bring me close, Father. Ve'in keshev. But no one's listening. The af b'shashem is ora hira tshuva b'ish Yisrael. And maybe I'll say, you know what? I have thoughts of tshuva, right? And ultimately, again, because of my sins, I have been distanced from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Noshuv no elav v'navdeyu. V'gam hu ka'av rachamon elinu yoshuv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll make you a deal. I'll come closer to you, right? Maybe I've distanced myself because of my sins. I'll come closer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need you also to come closer to me. We need to travel to each other. Gam az mar lanu, ki me az histarta me itanu takfu alino kolkach saros rabos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the moment you hid your face from me, right? He's talking in the plural. From the moment you hid your face from us, there have been so many tsaros. Hein bein yonei parnosa, vehein bisharin yonim. Ultimately, again, whether parnosa, other things, asher kolkach mitamtemos es halif, umatridos es hanefesh, achem aviros asano adas konin chazom. So we'll say, this is incredible. The Chazit says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to understand that there comes a time when suffering is so intense that it turns us against you. Strong. Mm-hmm. I will say, this is very important. People think that suffering brings people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say, sometimes that's the case. Very often, that's not the case. Very often, suffering does just the opposite. Because often what suffering does is when a person has to survive in an ongoing difficult situation, it takes all of their power, all of their koach, to just keep their head above water, that they have no bandwidth for God, no bandwidth for spirituality. And sometimes the suffering is so intense that the resentment of it, the resentment of the situation, replaces everything. So this chassid, right, this chassid is engaging in a dialogue with Chashmonei, saying, Ribono shel Olam, my wife and my children are dying. My family is literally dying right now. Where are you? You want me to do tshuva? I'll come back to you, but you have to meet me halfway. I'll come close to you, come close to me. Chodesh Baruch Hu, I'm scared that if things don't turn around now, the difficulty of my circumstances is going to turn me, the chassid, against you. Ribono shel olam, lo alai bilvani mispalel. I'm not just davening for myself. Rak, I'll call banecha b'nei Yisrael. I'm davening for everyone. Avarachamon, compassionate Father, Eich azavto es banecha ba'olam kolkach atzu va'yom levadam. We'll say, this is such an overwhelming statement. Compassionate Father, how did you leave your children in a world that is so sad and so overwhelming? How did you leave? It's incredible, right? How did you leave us in a world all by ourselves that is so sad and so overwhelming? We'll say, what a statement. Where are you? You know, it's almost like the Chassid saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can deal with anything you throw my way as long as I know that you are with me. If you're with me, we got this together. But if I'm alone and you leave me alone in this world that is so sad, that is so heartbreaking, that is so overwhelming, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. Ve'ech tabit kishem isbosesim bedamak osem v'tachrish. Avalo. So we're saying again, how can you look when you see, literally again, literally means when you see your children ultimately again wallowing in the blood of their wounds and yet you remain quiet. Avalo es parnosenu bilvad ani mevakesh. But I'm not just asking parnosa. Rak oscha avi ahuvi ves kidushas malki u kidushani mevakesh. I will say, this is so profound. The chassid says, I'm not just asking you for a loaf of bread. I'm not asking you just for a couple of dollars. I'm asking you for you. I'm asking you, for you, my father, for you, my king. I'm asking you, Karev, O son of Iskal, bring us close. Because you see, the chassid felt in this entire circumstance, what he felt was that these circumstances were a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu removing himself from the chassid's life, from the chassid's family. This is not simply give me a couple of dollars or a couple of loaves of bread. This is give me you. I need you to come back into my life. Rachim aleinu, pedeo sanu, shlach lanos mashiach tzidkecha. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us close. Reveal yourself to us. Have compassion on us. Redeem us. Send Mashiach. V'navotcha b'yira u'bi'ava kasher levavenu mishtogi k'miyachon. And we'll serve you. Help us out. Bring us close. Come back to our life. Bring Mashiach. Bring Geula. And we will serve you in the way that we should serve you. Okay? What was the last paragraph? Page Membav. So again, the chassid is obviously an intense tefillah, crying. And ultimately, again, he fainted. So as I said, ultimately, again, remember, he didn't drink anything. So the mice, he fainted and he didn't have the koach like to come out of his faint kite, to come out of it. He goes on, he says, Vihine, listen to this. Vihine. Suddenly he smells something fragrant. And the fragrant smell awakens him. Vayar. Vihine perach yofem ma'od asher gadol biyar. Umimenu nodef recho ha'arev. He opens his eyes and he sees, like, literally, he's lying on the ground. He's right in front of him. This beautiful, fragrant flower. And the flower itself, again, literally is giving off such a scent that it wakes him up. So we'll say, yes, it's a great idea. What does he do? He picks the flower. He says, let me run back, because this flower, like, totally revived him. He's going to bring it home to his wife, to his children. Again, he doesn't have food, but maybe he could restore them just a little bit. The same way the fragrant scent restored him, the fragrant scent could restore them. Page Mem Zayin. Watch this, we'll say. He's running home. And what happens? A carriage comes, and a man is in the carriage. Carriage stops right in front of the chassid. And the guy sitting in the carriage calls out, and he says, Shema lecha ani, lama lecha perach kaza. The man, right, you can imagine, the well-dressed man in the nice carriage says, poor man, what do you need such a beautiful flower? Tino osali, ve'et no eschar chakesef. Give me the flower, and I'll pay you. Bayana ani loim kerem bekasef. Ani says, I'm sorry, I won't sell it for money. Rak im ti tein li kikar lechem ba'ad ishti ubanai hagovim barav zeh shloshe yamim. Etein lochas haperach v'od avarecha lifnei Hashem. So Ani says, listen, I have no use for money right now, but here's what I'll do. If you give me a loaf of bread, this way again I could go ahead and give to my wife, to my kids, something to eat. I'll go ahead and I'll give you the flour. And not only that, I'll daven for you. He sells the flour for a loaf of bread, and Baruch Hashem, he comes home happy that now he could restore his family. Incredible. So the unwritten part of the story is, he comes home, they have a su'uda, and Baruch Hashem, at least for now, everything is okay. Watch this. That night, Vayares Aviv Bechalomo. The chassid has a dream, and he sees his father in the dream. Vine korea es begadav, and his father's clothing is torn. Tsoek uboche umake alibo. He sees in the stream the father's clothing is torn, and he's screaming and he's crying and he's beating himself on the chest. Va'omer dalucha. The father now talks to his son, to the chassid in the dream, and he says, "Shetfilas chasher hispalalta hayom bayar. The davening that you did today in the forest, also barash lamarom." Your tefillah ascended to the highest levels of Shamayim. V'chol malachi rachamim is'oru v'tzaku al Hashem. Ad masai lo sirachim al tzoncha midukoyim. V'abanecha hatevuim. Kol kach b'tzaros et shimcha eram shochachim. U'b'chol kol kach shurim. And the malachim, kiviyachol, ganged up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the angel said, Ribono shel olam, enough is enough. Enough is enough. How long are you going to allow your children to suffer? How long will you go without having compassion on them? How long will you allow them to be drowning in sorrow and difficulty? And even when they're drowning in sorrow and difficulty, Shimcha lo shachachnu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they never forget you. The Malachim are literally besieging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying it's enough. It's enough. You have to stop. You have to stop. You have to bring an end to their suffering. You have to bring the Geula. Mechitzas HaBarz Asher Ben Bneis Asher Ben Yisrael Avim Sheva Shamayim. Kibar Chisho Lishaber. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that literally, again, that iron barrier, right? That iron barrier that divides between you and Klal Yisrael, you have to bring it down. V'chol HaTfilo She'espalu Yisrael Me'az V'lo Alu Ata Alu. Once you bring down that barrier, all of the tefillos that were prevented from ascending on high suddenly ascend. Listen to this. The Malachim were successful. And they finally convinced HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it is time to bring Mashiach. But see what's happening? The tefillah of the Chassid tilted the scales. The Malachim cranked up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enough is enough. And the Ribbono Shel Olam acquiesced. He said, okay, it's time to bring Mashiach. The Yatzah Cruz, the announcement went out, Shekevan Sha'ata Bitfiloscha Kirafta Sakates, Lochin Yisgale Lacha HaPerach, Asherbo Lahachios Mesim. And therefore, because you chassid, because you, my son, were the one whose tefillah was the one who permeated Shamayim, convinced the Malachim, convinced the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were going to be the agent ultimately of redemption. Specifically, he quotes over here from the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah that says that Tchias HaMesim, how does resurrection take place? That there's going to be a very fragrant flower that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to produce, and ultimately, again, the fragrance is going to bring the dead back to life. What's the connection between fragrance? Remember again, in Bereshis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man, the Torah says, Vayipach ba'apov. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man? He breathed life into his nostrils. Shabbos said this idea, this is why, by the way, on Matzei Shabbos, right? We smell besamim. Why? Because on Matzei Shabbos, the soul is sad that Shabbos is departing. How do you make the neshama happy? Scent. So the way it works is Tchias HaMesim happens, says the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, through a fragrant flower. And they decided, this is the father saying to the son, they decided that you, because it's your tefillah ultimately again, that is going to bring about Gula, they were going to give you the flower. And you are going to be the person who takes the flower and does Tchias HaMesim. And again, you were supposed to bring home the flower, and I was going to tell you in a dream tonight that your job is Shatelech lemaras hamachpela. Your job was to take the flower. Go to maras hamachpela. Go to Chevron, the resting place of the avos and the imos. Ushar kivros hanavim lachayosim. And go to the other graves of the other prophets. V'aviu es Mashiach zidkenu. That's what was supposed to happen. You were supposed to bring home the flower. Your tefillos worked. Gula was going to come. And I was going to appear to you tonight in a dream and tell you what to do with the flower. B'chol ha-shamayim v'heichalei el yonasa ora v'simcha. Mostly in the entire celestial sphere, ultimately, again, there was such joy and happiness. Malochei el yon v'nishmos ha-tzadikim samchu. Everybody, a big simcha in Shemayim. Mashiach is finally going to come. V'ra'ash gadol. It's that ringtone, right? Right. Although that's not the rapper, right? Right. V'ra'ash, right? V'ra'ash gadol v'yelala. So again, all of Shamayim is happy. All of Shamayim is happy. There's one entity who's not happy. Who's not happy? The Satan. Satan is the Malach HaMoves, right? The Yetzihara. Satan's unhappy. Maye Asu'ata. So the Satan says, how do I foil this plan? Now again, everybody's on the Messianic bandwagon, right? Ultimately, Mashiach's going to come. Tchias HaMesim. Satan says, how do I foil this? Ultimately, the Satan, you know that guy in the wagon? The guy in the wagon wasn't a guy. The guy in the wagon was the Satan. The guy in the wagon who bought the flour from you for a loaf of bread, he was an agent, an emissary of the Satan. And his job was to steal the flour of Tchias HaMesim. The Ata, let's look how the story ends. Page Memchas. The Ata, Hoy Vavoy Bini. And now the father says in the dream, oh, my son, hi vavoy, right? Ay, 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 ay. Lo lecha levad hareosa. You didn't just harm yourself. Rak lechol Yisrael. Af likdoshe Yisrael. Hakol haya biyatcha. Everything, my son, was in your hands. Gama avos, gama neviim, v'chol atzadikim, af hamashiach biyatcha. Everything was in your hands. Ves hakol ba'ad kikar lechem ibarata. And you gave away eternity for a loaf of bread. You gave away eternity for a loaf of bread. Hasatan v'chomalochi chabola atam smechim. Ultimately, again, the Satan, all the destructive angels are now so happy. V'alinu mitzachakim umashalim. Boshim ubochim anachnu kolonu v'kulam tzokim v'alecha sho'alim. And now everyone in Shamayim is so tzabrochen, so broken, so sad. And everyone is asking, Mihu ha'ish asheres kol eila hecharif? Who is the man responsible for all of this destruction? Ves ora kedusha kiba. Who is the man who is responsible for extinguishing the light of kedusha? Ha'im yachal liyo she'ish Yehudi hu u'b'shem Yisrael Yechuna? Is it possible that this was a Yid? It couldn't have been a Yid. It couldn't have been a Jew who did this. Because a Jew would never give up the flour of Tchias HaMesim for a loaf of bread. That was a very powerful story. Look what the Piagetzna writes. V'yata bachar Yisrael. So the Piagetzna says, and now, young man, doig ata harbe ala ani hazeh, she'ibed v'hevsed es kol ha'kodesh, v'atzadikim u'biyas ha'mashiach ba'ad davar ma'ashokach. So we'll say, right, you read this story, and there's like righteous indignation. Chassid, come on, you should have known better. Should have known better. There was obviously something special about the flour. The flour wasn't there when you started, right? The flour suddenly appeared after you fainted, you woke up. Come on, you're a chassid. You should know better that something is afoot. How do you go ahead and sell something so special for something so insignificant? So there's this righteous indignation. It says, I want to tell you this piece outside, and then we're going to do this theme next week. I will say, what's the point of the story? What's the point of the story? The point of the story, I will say, is that sometimes we are holding eternity in our hands, and we give it away for a loaf of bread. And I will say, this story plays out in all of our lives all of the time. In, we'll call it simple ways, non-dramatic ways, and dramatic ways. Right? I was saying, it could be something as simple as, and I hate to keep on using this example, it'd be something as simple as a person is davening, and they check their phone in the middle of davening. What are you doing? What are you doing? Person's in a shir, and I check my phone. Okay, if you have something timely, so go do it. Go take care of it. If it's that important, go. It's okay. Right? Your potter. What are you doing? You have eternity. You have eternity in front of you. And you're giving up eternity for what? For what? To check a status? Right? Are you giving up eternity for what? For an email that doesn't really matter? For a text that doesn't? What are you doing? I would say, so often we have eternity right in front of us. And we just give it up. And I would say, you could go ahead and plug this into anything. A person has time with their family. Person is zochet to have time with their family. And I will say, what happens? What happens? Same thing. Like, I'm just not present. I'm involved in something else. Time with your family is eternity. And you give it up for what? For what? Or I will say, I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You know, I will say, I'll tell you something amazing. I'll tell you something absolutely amazing. You know, it used to be, I'm reading a biography about the Ribnitzer Rebbe, an incredible tzaddik. And there was a story that was brought down in the book about the Ribnitzer was with the Skver Rebbe in Russia, when Russia was attacked by Germany. And they were in the house, and they wanted to go to shul for Shacharis. But the bombs are falling. So they're trying to think, like, should we go? Shouldn't we go? What should we do? Is there such sakana? So the Skver Rebbe turns to the Ribnitzer. He says, Ribnitzer, are you afraid? The Ribnitzer says, no. Skver Rebbe says, let's go. They walk to davening. They walk to Shacharis. in the middle of the German bombardment of Russia. I was saying, there's no bombardment happening in the streets of Baltimore, right? Most days, right? In other words, right? Other kinds, it depends, right? It depends how they define bombardment. I was saying, there's minyanim all the time. There's shuls everywhere. How do I miss a tefillah b'tzibur? You're busy? Really? Busy? How busy? How busy are you that I can't make it to daven with a minyan? How busy am I? Okay, maybe the only excuse is like mincha during this time of year. You get shacharis as early or as late. You can get ma'ariv as early as you're late. Why give up? What are you giving up eternity for? What are you sacrificing? What you're giving up eternity for what? Again, if you're giving up eternity for something really good, okay, then maybe there are certain things that are worth giving up eternity. Maybe there is something on Netflix that is worth giving up eternity for. Maybe it's possible. It's possible. But I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. He'll say, how often in life does it happen? There's an opportunity to chesed. We'll say, Klal Yisrael is at war. Do you know how many chesed opportunities there are? How many chesed opportunities? I say this all the time. We do not fulfill our obligation vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael by checking Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post, Arut Sheva, 57 times every minute. That's not your responsibility for Klal Yisrael. Frankly, it does absolutely nothing. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do on the Ruchniyah side. There's a lot to do on the Gashmiyah side. Am I taking advantage of the opportunities to help my people? Or am I just simply too busy? Am I giving up eternity? Am I giving up eternity and simply giving away the beautiful flower of Tchiyas Ma'aseh for a loaf of bread? I will say this is day in and day out. We are presented with dramatic spiritual opportunities for growth, dramatic spiritual opportunities for self-actualization. And we have it. It's in my hand. And then the carriage pulls up and offers me something else. And I'm like, okay. Right? And I go ahead and I take that beautiful flower of spiritual promise and possibility and I give it away and I receive something so meaningless in return.
He thought that Hashem was answering his prayers.
He should have understood, again, life requires.
He doesn't know what the flower is. He knows what a piece of bread is. He knows his story.
He knows.
But even more so, Yitzhak didn't ask for bread. He asked for Mashiach to come.
That's
and
it.
He got it.
He didn't ask for a loaf of bread. See,
his
in his tefillas,
right?
In his tefillas, he understood this is so much bigger.
He was so distracted.
This is so much bigger than a loaf of bread. So the guy who never davened for bread, when he sees bread, he's like, oh, bread. Right. Bread, right? When you see it, it's like, oh, all I can think about is bread. Right? See, he lost his way. He got distracted. And the Piagetist says, how often in life does that happen? That we just lose our way. We get distracted. We give up the most beautiful things. And in return, we get absolutely nothing. We get a loaf of bread. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. It's an overwhelming maisa. Overwhelming story. Overwhelming lesson. What we're going to do next week, we'll say, is discuss. So like, how does this happen? How does it happen that a person falls into this trap of giving up a flower for the loaf of bread?
How is he supposed to know a flower is Mashiach?
I'm sorry?
How is he supposed to know a flower is Mashiach?
No, how is he supposed to know that the flower is Mashiach? Because he should have understood there was something dramatic unfolding over here.
The flower wasn't there.
Come on, look at the story. Look at the story. Look what's happening over there. There's a flower that was never there before, suddenly appears over here. That's it. It's just to barter for a loaf of bread. That's it. Come on, this guy. And remember, like Akiva said, he never davened for a loaf of bread. That's not what he davened for. It's not what he davened for. He was davening for something so much bigger. So something appears, be a visionary person. We'll say, stop over for tonight. Overwhelming story. Miratz Hashem, we're going to continue with this piece tomorrow. We'll say, we'll daven Ma'ariv in the shul. Shkoyach, everyone.
The offer of money and say, I don't want money, I want bread. I mean, what's the point of that?
Say again?